Welcome to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and it's presented by CMA Consulting. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting joins us in studio today on this very special edition where we share the stories of family businesses all across the St. Louis region, a special episode where we look back at some of those stories that cover retirement in different transitions, either a generational transition or a leadership transition, and get some insights from great family businesses across the St. Louis region. We'll hear from Metro Lighting, Woodard Cleaning and Restoration, Welsh Heating and Cooling, Weekends Only, Tarleton, Cutis Funeral Homes, Diva Imports, O'Connor Insurance, Ferguson Roofing, and even Johnny Brock's. Each of them have their own story to tell, and we'll hear some of their own experiences of retirement and transitions. So Dan Bean, what are some of your thoughts on retirement and transitions when it comes to family businesses?
So first, you are correct. We work with over 100 family businesses every year, and most of our new family business clients we get when they're approaching or in the middle of a generational transition, and they're stuck or don't know what to do. One of the things we often tell the current generation is you tend not to let go of the business until you are convinced yourself that your retirement is fully funded. So that is something that the current generation needs to look into systematically in a data-based way with a wealth advisor, and it's something the next generation needs to be aware of.
First in this segment, we'll hear from Metro Lighting. What happens to you in the future? Have you thought about what happens when maybe you're ready to turn the company over to someone else?
Well, you know, we think about it all the time, and I've been thinking about it, you know, for 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's
that
a
long
number of things that we've done. Well, you know, you can't fool Mother Nature. We all get older, and
yeah,
I know what's going to happen sooner or later. We've created an operating board of directors, and mm-hmm. that includes two of our general managers, the general manager of our electrical side and our lighting side.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our CFO, and we've got our executive vice president and one other key employee, and we meet regularly, basically discuss the direction of the company.
Mm-hmm.
My thought is, if I wanted to take things easier, or if I got hit by a bus, this operating board could continue the company forward into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I want to retire, the operating board could do the same thing, and they could report to an executive board, which would include me, my family, immediate family,
mm-hmm.
and maybe my banker and my lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the executive board that the operating board would report to.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we have planned. Mostly if I get hit by a bus. But there's other options. I mean, there's an ESOP, which
mm-hmm.
would be beneficial to the employees, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the more outstanding employees, because they get paid substantially more than, say, entry-level employees,
mm-hmm.
I think they would benefit the most, and I think they would like that. And I think all the employees actually would like that. That's an option. And then just an outright sale. I mean, a month doesn't go by without somebody knocking on the door saying, are you interested in selling?
Wow.
Especially as, I don't know, it must be a secret how old you are. Once I hit 60, they started knocking like every 2 weeks. So anyway, there's some options there.
Yeah. That was Metro Lighting talking about their own retirement and transition stories. Next is Woodard Cleaning and Restoration.
My dad had run and owned the business for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Through that process, one of the natural consequences of that is that the business is organized so that he can lead it.
Mm-hmm.
When you switch to the next generation, the business that kind of formed and coalesced around him, that organizational structure doesn't necessarily work for me. His skill sets are different than mine. They overlap in areas, but they are different. And so there was a natural result of the structure. And mm-hmm. so when we started talking about, hey, you know, Justin, we need you to lead the business. One of the first, the thing that we did first, and it took us almost 6 months of assessing the different parts of the business to say, hey, if Justin's going to lead the business, it has to be structured in a different way. We need different types of teams, and we need different people that are different leaders in place so that they can keep an eye on parts of the business that Justin has no experience with that Dad had experience with. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the first challenge, was what structures do we need to create the environment that we want to have for our culture in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's really the idea that we've kind of gone from, hey, we have this one operation that does all this stuff, we are now, we're structuring the business to say, hey, you know, we have a construction business unit, mm-hmm. and we've got leaders that are focused there. We have an emergency services business unit mm-hmm. that are structured and focused there. And then we have cleaning services. Mm-hmm. And those now make up a lot of the services that we provide are inside of these business units. And that really allows me to get input from a variety of places to make sure that we're moving forward in all of these areas, as opposed to an organization where it's more complex now, but that is, you know, that's what we needed at that point in time when we were making the transition.
Because your dad was running the business for decades at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over 30 years. Right. And so for him to come in and say, you know, Justin, I've got cancer. I'm going to treatment. I'm going to be doing chemo for at least 6 months and I'm going to focus there. I'm starting tomorrow. Right. I mean, it was literally that fast. And as soon as he started the chemotherapy, I mean, it was a lifeboat drill. He was gone. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have time to have a transition plan. We didn't have time to say, hey, here's how the responsibilities are going to adjust and mm-hmm. here's who's going to do what. I mean, we just didn't, there wasn't time for that. He had lymphoma and the doctors were saying, we got to move quickly. Mm-hmm. I give a lot of credit to people of Woodard to be able to, you know, to know that that's happening. I mean, I feel that our family has been amazingly cared for by the people that serve our customers and really have served our family. Because you can't do that when you have all the emotional stress of, is your dad going to, you know, come back to work, or is he going to not be alive anymore? Mm-hmm. It's hard to go in and come up with the next strategic plan, right? So we treaded water for 6 months. You know, there were a couple of decisions where I really, you know, I was faced with this situation where I'm like, you know, I kind of have a pretty good idea of how dad would make this decision, but I'm not sure I would make it that way. So I have a decision to make. Do I do it as I know dad would, or I suspect, right? I would be making an assumption. Or do I say, you know what? Dad might not come back. And if he doesn't, I could be appear as inconsistent, right? If I'm going to start changing how I make decisions, it really, you know, faced with that, it's like, what do you do? How do you make the decision? And in my mind, looking back, I kind of went both ways. There were some where I was like, no, I really, this is dad's company. He's alive. I got to make a decision this way. But there's a couple others. So it's like, you know, this is going to impact this team. But I think the best thing for the team and for our company and for our customers is to go in this direction that might be a little different. We did over 6 months. There were things where, you know, we started to change the direction a little bit. We did the best that we could.
Yeah.
It was a hard year. And, you know, emotionally, it was a hard year in all sorts of different ways.
Yeah, your dad has the company for 30 years after the diagnosis. He comes back after treatment, and he's doing fine still to this day. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services, when he came back, was he looking to keep an active role in the company, or was he looking more or less at that point wanting to be more hands-off?
That'd be a good question to ask him.
So it wasn't something you guys discussed?
Yeah, we really didn't.
He just came back.
He came back. So, I mean, the assumption mm-hmm. is that he came back thinking that he would continue to have an active role.
Right.
It was different, mm-hmm. right? You go through a traumatic experience like that, you know, and by the way, I mean, it's certainly there's an emotional trauma there, but I mean, there's physical trauma. He was in very, very aggressive chemotherapy treatment for 6 months. And your muscles are different. Your balance is different. There's all sorts of your body that takes a really long time to heal. And so to come back to work, declared remission in July, and he came to work back to work in, you know, September a little bit in October. And
you're probably worried too. You don't want to overexert him. You know, you don't want to feel like you're too demanding on him.
Well, if you know Charlie Woodard, you don't ever worry about that. Whether he's in chemo or not, he has more energy than the three of us combined.
Oh, is that right?
So he doesn't, that's really never a risk. If he's there, he's moving.
That was Woodard Cleaning and Restoration on this special edition of the Business of Family Business, telling the family stories of family businesses. Up next, we're going to hear from Welsh Heating and Cooling and also Tom Phillips from Weekends Only and Phillips Furniture, giving their account of retirement and transitions. Next on the Business of Family Business.
It's a family affair.
Welcome to the special edition of the Business of Family Business on KMOX. It's presented by CMA Consulting, and Dan Bean from CMA joins us in studio as we look back at some of those stories that have been shared on this very program that cover retirement and transitions, either a business owner ready to retire or even sometimes the kids willing to talk about the transitions and what it was like for them. We're going to hear this segment from Welsh Heating and Cooling, also Tom Phillips from Weekends Only. First, Dan Bean, I want to talk to you about transitions in general and the different kinds of transitions that family businesses approach.
When it comes to transitioning leadership responsibility, and we say transition leadership responsibility first and then ownership second, but when it comes to transitioning leadership responsibility, the current generation wants the next generation to do it my way. Well, my way has worked for probably 25 years, and the next generation wants to do it their way. And so it sets up a natural clash between the two generations. If the next generation will just do it mom or dad's way initially and learn a way that works and prove they can do it and then experiment and adapt their way to the more the way they want to do it, things will work a lot smoother.
In this segment first, we'll hear from Welsh Heating and Cooling with their experiences in retirement and transitions. Have you thought about your own transitioning or what's going to happen with the company? Because after 55 years, you need a break sometime soon.
Well, we have two people that we have our CFO, Paul Hyman, helps run the company. And Denise Webb is our service manager and vice president. They're both vice presidents. And they are the two people that I count on to run the business when I'm not there. As I tell them, we have a timeshare unit in Longboat Key, Florida. We go twice a year for 3 weeks. That's my retirement. That's the way I plan to retire. Yeah. I don't plan to quit. I don't play golf. My wife doesn't want me home. I don't like daytime TV. So as a result, as long as I'm of able mind and body, and there's some that question the mind part already, but as long as I'm of able mind and body, I think I will continue to work. I know people that have retired and I ask them what they've done, what they do, and they kind of stumble around and they don't really have anything to say. And quite honestly, I feel I still have things to contribute to the world and to life. And I'm not ready to just, you know, give it up and not do that.
Yeah. How many years have you been married?
54.
Wonderful.
It'll be 55. And we got married. I went on honeymoon. Came back from the honeymoon and started full-time into business. So we got married June 15th of 63. How about that? I remember my wedding anniversary. And like I say, we went on a 17-day honeymoon, came back, and I've been full-time ever since.
Yeah. Butch Welsh from Welsh Heating and Cooling. Great story from them. Up next, Tom Phillips from Weekends Only. What are some of those things that the growing pains during those times? Was there ever parts of the business where you felt the industry was going in one direction, but your brothers felt it was going in another, and you had to make really tough decisions?
There was a time where my brothers and I, that we wanted to focus on different things. And that led to the breakup of us as in doing business together. One of the things that preceded that was when we had the Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery stores in St. Louis. And we had decided that the marketplace was changing, and that was a business that we didn't want to go forward with because we had this other opportunity that we saw in this company that we were just starting called Weekends Only. Mm-hmm. And in that transition, though, my brother Steve came to work for me. This was one of the hardest times between Steve and me and the family because I didn't do a really good job of being a supervisor. And in fact, there was one time that I even threatened to write him up. I didn't remember exactly why, but a few weeks ago I asked him why was that. And his recollection is that he had given me his sales goals for the year of an 11% increase over the previous year. Come mid-year, he was only at a 9% increase, and I took him to task. It's hard for me to believe that I would write him up for that. But I have to admit, I clearly remember I was going to write him up, and he clearly remembers why, so I can't dispute it. And I clearly remember how he responded. If I wrote him up, he said, and I paraphrase, that he would file it in one of my bodily parts where the sun don't shine. And that was probably one of the moments that I realized we really can't work together and we needed to split up. And so we began the process of two of us, David and I, taking weekends only in one direction, and Stephen and Matt taking Phillips Furniture in another direction. And so I think those were two things, market forces as well as forces within the sibling dynamic that caused us to go separate ways.
That's an interesting crossroad point.
Yes.
But overall, as a company, with the two going different ways but still being run together, I guess, under an umbrella of where you guys are still together in the sense, did that pay off in the long run? Overall, was that something that was a successful split?
We were under an umbrella for a while, and then we decided we had to make a complete split.
Mm.
So my dad didn't like this. He was wanting us to stay under one umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, at least for me, I wanted to only think about weekends only and not have to think about Phillips Furniture. And so I wanted to separate and just focus on weekends only. And I felt I could best do that if I didn't have Phillips Furniture shares any longer.
So what year would that have been, roughly?
That was in 2004, I believe.
Well, how did that change the family dynamic competing against each other directly at that point?
When we would have family gatherings, it was a little more, it was a lot more reserved. We just, we'd be really good at kind of jabbing each other about our, you know, our respective businesses were better than the others. So we had some healthy fun around it, but it was a guarded relationship, and there were difficult times between us as well, where we had to, you know, call each other out on some advertising practices, and we'd fight over product at market, and we'd have price wars. We were really competing week after week. I think it actually made us better merchants because neither of us wanted to lose. Even though deep down inside, I think we cared about each other, we didn't want to lose.
Mm.
So we were going to fight.
Another great story shared on this program, The Business of Family Business. That was Weekends Only and Tom Phillips there. We're looking at retirement and transitions, a special edition. And in the next segment, we'll look at Tarleton, Cutis Funeral Homes, and also Diva Imports, their stories about retirement and transitions. Up next on The Business of Family Business, I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And if you have a family business and you'd like to share your story on this program, we would love to hear it. Reach out to Dan Bean. He's with CMA Consulting. Their website, cmaconsult.com. Or better yet, if you patronize a family business and you're listening to this program this weekend, let them know next time you walk into the shop. Say, have you heard about this program on KMOX? It's on the weekends. It's called The Business of Family Business. I would like to hear your family story. And just pass along the website, cmaconsult.com. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Racker. And of course, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting joining us in studio as we look back at some of those stories shared on this program. And the theme is retirement and transitions, as every family business that looks to pass along to the next generation, either their knowledge or ownership in the company or even leadership, as some parents are ready to step down as the CEO or president. We want to hear about those stories, and we'll hear in this segment from Tarleton, Cutis Funeral Homes, and Diva Imports and their stories along there. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting joins us in studio, and we're going over some of the principles that are covered when it comes to retirements and transitions.
Another principle is passing responsibilities from the current generation to the next generation. This is the CEO or the president role, and the best way to do that, to manage risk, is to pass responsibilities gradually. Think of a responsibility as a baton in a relay race. Pass one baton here, one baton there. You don't pass them all at once. That's much higher risk. But if you never pass them, God will make sure you pass them all at once at some point.
All of the businesses you hear on this program are great family businesses across the St. Louis region. First, we'll hear from Tarleton. Sounds like your dad was a really great planner.
He was, I think, the best. He always said, "Well, I learned from the best," which was our grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once that transition happened, it was our show. And he might want to think about this, or might want to think about that. He was never one to come in and say, "Well, you got to do it this way."
No, he never asserted himself in that way.
And we're very thankful and fortunate that that worked out that way. It's been great to have him as a resource.
Yeah.
He's let us succeed and fail on our own. So that's been good.
A lot of great lessons you've learned from him, mm-hmm. it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Right. So does ownership currently look 1/3 each right now, or has it changed since then?
No, we're equal partners.
Yeah.
And then we have 11 other shareholders
right.
in addition to us that are employees.
So about 10% of the company is owned by some key folks at Tarleton.
Okay.
That we've worked with.
Was that something your dad or your parents decided on, or is that something that you guys morphed into over the years?
That's something we decided.
Yeah.
Now the company had always had a history of other family member or non-family members having shares.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something that we looked at back in 2006.
Yeah, by the time Tracy, Wendy, and I bought the company, it was 99.something%
yeah.
the Elsperman family. That was the deal we bought into, but probably 12 years ago or so, we looked around and we had some key partners that we enjoyed working with.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to have them have a little skin in the game, retention, reward, recognition for what they've done type of things. And so that first round was 5 shareholders.
Yeah.
And now we're up to 11.
But it's great because it also gives us options going forward.
Sharing stories of retirement and transitions. This is the Business of Family Business. You just heard from Tarleton. Up next, Cutis Funeral Homes. So let's talk too about transition of leadership roles. Have you found that you're moving a lot of the different things that you used to be doing over to Kim now?
Yes, I do. I mean, every year she does a little more as far as the administrative part. She's in on all of the major decisions now, and her advice is the first one I take.
That would put you in a role, Kim, as a CEO, right? Or is that what you're going to be down the line?
I assume.
Have you guys talked about that?
Yes, we have. Kim yeah. is, when my day comes, why Kim will take over the leadership role, and she, along with her other family members, will continue to
yeah.
run the business and hopefully through the fifth and further generations.
Right. So that, for you, you hope that it can continue to be a family business for many generations to come.
Right. And yeah. it isn't just Kim and I. I mean, her right. siblings do a terrific job for us, too. My son runs our place at 2906 Gravois, and he helps us. They're not quite as busy there as we are at the other facilities, so he's in and out of our buildings to help, too. He's the general manager of the company, and he has specific things. So when we need something new or to take a look at some different price lists and on bids and different things, he's quite a bit of help there, mm-hmm. and that frees up Kim and I to do a lot of personal prearranging and arranging for ourselves.
Yeah. So you don't have the business cards made yet?
No.
Not yet. How did that relationship develop to the point where you knew that at some point Kim would be your successor? Because there was other family members involved. Was it a grooming thing, or did it just happen naturally?
Well, I think Kim has shown the ability to, as far as a management role, that she's a little calmer than her father and some of the other family members, and hopefully she'll continue with that, and that'll help her guide everybody through the next phases.
Yeah. Does that even play a factor, Kim? Is that even in the back of your mind, being a leading female of one of the most recognizable companies in St. Louis, or the funeral homes, I should say?
No, I just think that the family name has been out there. Mm-hmm. And growing up, people always had wonderful stories about my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Most people still have good stories about my father. So I hope that people will see me in that light. And I'm proud to have been able, that our family has served the St. Louis community for this long. And
right.
that's why I chose to go into it. And I've had the fortune of being able to make funeral arrangements and, like I said, grow up in the office and other things. I've had the opportunity to step back and watch how he's done it without being forced into that situation early mm-hmm. on. So I've developed a long way before this point where I would be successful.
Yeah, that was Cutis Funeral Homes. A big thank you again to all of our family businesses that have joined us on this program. Now we hear the retirement and transition story from Deba Imports. Your father, Joe, how old is he now?
He is 77.
Has his role in the company changed over the years, or is he still as active as he was in the 90s?
He doesn't travel as much as he used to, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He was all over the country, going to Europe a couple times a year. He'll go to national trade shows now, but we've got a lot of younger, more enthusiastic sales reps that are out running around the country to sell shoes today.
So what is the size of Diba Imports today?
Well, we have a 45,000 square foot building. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of outside sales reps, but most people are working out of our office. We have between 30 and 35 employees, depending on how you count the part-time people.
Okay.
And
more than one computer now.
Yes, and way too many computers. But we have a great infrastructure, a great setup. We have all of our inventory located right here in St. Louis. I always say it's our world headquarters, but that means we only have one building.
Diane, let me ask you again about your father, Joe. As he indicated, he may be, I guess, ready to take things easy and maybe allow you to get in there and take over that president role sometime in the future?
It depends on how well things are going. When we're having fun and things are going great, he just loves to continue to participate.
Yeah.
And other times when things are stressful, he says, oh, I'm getting tired of this. And then something good will happen. So, you know, he has his good days and his bad days. But I think whenever he's ready to retire or you know, cut back, he can do that. He has the ability to do that anytime, but he's still having fun. So he comes in and does the things he enjoys doing.
Yeah. That was Diba Imports. When we come back, we'll wrap up hearing stories from O'Connor Insurance and Ferguson Roofing. Also, Johnny Brox, as we look at some of the retirement and transition stories shared on this program. It is the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and it's presented by CMA Consulting. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting joins us in studio. He's been going over some of the principles of retirement in transitions, and we've heard from some great family businesses across the St. Louis region. In this segment, you'll hear from O'Connor Insurance and Ferguson Roofing, also Johnny Brox. But first, Dan Bean, let me ask you about that last principle of retirement in transitions.
The fourth principle is when a new leader takes over for mom or dad, that new leader now becomes the leader of mom or dad's team. And that is a transition in and of itself. And so that has to be attended to with a lot of sensitivity about all of a sudden generally leading a team composed of members much older than I am.
In our last segment, let's hear from O'Connor Insurance and also Ferguson Roofing and how those two families have worked together over all these years.
Yes.
So what's the history with your parents and the two family businesses working with each other?
So my father was the founder of O'Connor Insurance, and his father was owner of Ferguson Roofing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were friends, boating friends.
Okay.
And they established an alliance business-wise. A trusted long-term family business in roofing. Mm-hmm. And here we are, an established insurance. And, you know, we became kind of business partners as well. And here we are today.
Isn't that amazing how that could work out? How sometimes the second generation kids can work together just like the first generation family did.
Absolutely. There were so many years in between, though. Jason's younger than I am. Mm-hmm. So it took a while for his father to step out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of a confidant to him during that time. He would speak to me and I would speak to his father about what the transition might look like and how he wanted his children in there, but not until it was their time.
Mm-hmm.
And he also tried to prod my mom out of the business. So his dad actually took her to dinner once and had her sign the back of a receipt that she attested to finding a replacement for her position back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
He had it laminated and gave it to me, and I still have it in my drawer today.
Oh, that's neat. Isn't that neat, Jason, too, how sometimes the family stories can cross each other?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I remember actually early when I came back to St. Louis to work in the business, one of my first exposures to the community association environment was at a presentation that Karen was giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew who she was, obviously, because of the name, and I knew the relationship. but it was my first reconnection with her.
Yeah.
And as Karen said, that was the beginning of our professional relationship and a lot of her mentorship to me, not only just getting my feet wet with the family business, but also the exposure and experience in the community association,
yeah.
Which is a significant portion of our business.
How long was your father in the business?
25 years. He had an early passing.
Mm. When you say a passing of your father, let's go back to that. When that happened, you have the business side of it, but you also have the family side of it. How difficult was that on all levels of your life? Because that affects you on all levels of your life.
Correct. Yeah. So my father was only 61 when he passed. Mm-hmm. He had been diagnosed with cancer 6 months prior to his passing. Mm-hmm. And that was very difficult. The only good thing that we all took from that is that 5 years prior to that, he had stepped away from the business and actually was able to retire and enjoy himself. Mm-hmm. So we always knew that that was something. He always talked about early retirement. And so he actually was able to achieve that in 1999. And how he achieved it was very unusual. Mm-hmm. In 1999, he told me that he was going to go finish the attic in his house on a project level because he was a big game hunter and mm-hmm. he had all these trophies to hang. And so he stepped away from the office and, you know, started working with his carpenter, and he just never came back.
Hmm.
I mean, he came back. He came back to say, I need this or I need that or, you know, what's going on here. And then, but he never said he retired, and he just wanted to know what was going on, and he never stepped back in a suit or a tie or a business outfit.
Did he still have his name up on the door?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, it was still his office.
Still his office, but it wasn't being used much at that point.
Never. Never. Actually, we hired an employee in 1999, and she had to go to continuing education class. And so did he, because he kept his license. Mm-hmm. And they met in class. She said, oh, I work for O'Connor Insurance. And he said, oh, I own O'Connor Insurance. And
like, I've never seen you before.
Right. So, he did. That's how he retired or stepped away. And,
yeah.
But, you know, it all worked out. It all worked out,
yeah.
Except for during the passing. What was so great about the office is that my mom was able to take turns with me. He didn't need care. So, she could be away from the office. When she needed to be at the office, I could step at home.
Mm-hmm.
The whole employee team stepped up and everybody took care of everything.
Great story from O'Connor Insurance and Ferguson Roofing and the great history between those two companies. Up next, Johnny Brocks. Was your dad always supportive of your ideas?
You know, he was always pretty supportive of my involvement in the business. In the gift part of the business, he would take me to gift shows, and I would help with a lot of the buying, and I would say, Dad, hey, this looks like a great line to pick up. And a lot of times he would remind me that there was an important rule to remember when doing wholesale buying,
mm-hmm.
and that is you can't buy all of the things that you like.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know what your customer is or who your customer is,
okay.
and know what they're interested in. So he kind of tutored me along on the buying end pretty well.
Do you buy anything out of the back of a trunk anymore? Or is that
no? But but
so
I do have I do sell out of the back of my trunk. Got some things in the car right now. If you're interested,
so you always have you're a collector though. At some point, you probably can't resist buying those things you love, and just naturally they become popular.
That's true.
You
that's
can't
true,
help it.
Yeah.
So when you joined in high school, your dad was fully running the operation.
Yeah. Along with his mother, actually, my grandmother was, who was involved in the business since day one mm-hmm. with my grandfather, Loretta Brock, ran the greeting card business. And this is prior to the costume part of it.
Right.
The dungeon part, which is what I kind of incorporated into the business. Loretta Brock was really the key operator.
Yeah.
Along with my dad.
Did you have some notoriety in high school? Did people know the family business? Like, was
again,
you synonymous with it?
Not so much. Yeah. You know, people on the South Side knew of Johnny Brock's. Again, it was a greeting card and gift store. I guess, I don't know if I want to call it notoriety, but the awareness was much further extended when I got into the costume business because it was unique. And from there, we did a lot of advertising, mm-hmm. and I was just, it really kind of took off.
Can I ask you about your dad some? Because this is starting to take off in the, you know, mid to late 80s. And I was reading, too, that it was around that time towards the 90s that your dad grew ill.
That's correct. Yeah.
Can we talk about that? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
What happened?
Well, he had developed cancer, and being in a lot of ways a typical male, you know, didn't go to the doctor as often as he should to have checkups, and the cancer had kind of progressed.
I see. So by the time he found out, it was pretty far along.
Yeah. And it took a few years, but you know, he went through treatments, and that's why I stayed home with him. I have siblings that have been. My sister was out of town at the time, but she had come back and to help with the business. But my other two brothers had been moved out of St. Louis for well before that,
right?
You know, and still are out of St. Louis.
So there was a point where your father could no longer work, and it was you were helping take care of him.
Exactly.
What did that mean for you in the business too? Were you still trying to manage?
Yeah, I had been involved in the retail business for quite a few years prior to that. So I had a pretty good handle on the business, but I wasn't 100% sure. This was again prior. My thinking of being involved in the business started prior to being in the Halloween business, but it was really after I got involved in the Halloween business that I think I latched on to something that I'm like, okay, I like this.
That was Johnny Brock's. A big thank you to all of the family businesses that participate on this program and the ones that we use today, this special retirement in transitions episode of the Business of Family Business. If you know a great business in the area and you would like their story told on this program, it's simple. Just have them reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. Their website, cmaconsult.com. Also, you can go back and listen to any of these episodes in their entirety if you go to KMOX.com. Listen on demand and get any individual family story you'd like to hear. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We'll see you again soon.